Blog Talk Radio.
No time. Thank you. You get the glory. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the praise. You alone deserve all the praise. So we give you all the praise. We come to praise you and bow down before you this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to come and bow down. We come only to give you praise, honor, and glory, for you alone are worthy of all the praises. The songwriter says, you alone deserve all the praise, Jesus. We ask you today to speak through us as we yield our hearts, mind, body, and soul to you. Today we ask your forgiveness, we ask your mercy, and we ask your grace. We know that your mercy is new every day. Lord Jesus, speak to us and speak through us. We repent of every sin, every thought, every word, every deed, every action that we may have said or done, Lord, that did not bring glory to your name. And always we speak to the church. As you spoke to the church, we speak to the church. In the book of Revelation, you spoke to seven churches, rebuking them of all their errors. You didn't come and wash them in honey and milk. You didn't come and pamper them, but you rebuked them of all their shortcomings. Father, we ask today that you will bless this word and allow me to release this word. And as it go forth to the north, south, east, and the west, Lord, allow it to do what it is sent to do. I know your word said it will not return void. So, Father, we are thanking you. We ask you to bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips with clear. As I do part two of this message, stay on track. God is leading. And we want to go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And we're coming out the New King James Version. And it says, Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, Paul said that the writer of Hebrews said that those who heard it did not have faith. So it didn't profit them. They heard the word. The word was good to them, but they didn't get the benefits of hearing the word. The Bible said, don't just be hearers, but be doers of the word. The Bible said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich, and he adds no sorrows to it. This is the word of God. So it said, perhaps the hardest thing for us to do is to keep on. It is the hardest thing. Why is it the hardest thing? Because a lot of times we are teaching and preaching the gospel, and we are teaching that God has given us utterance by his Spirit. And a lot of people hear what they want to hear. Just like Paul says here in the writer of Hebrews said in this text here, most people hear what they want to hear. They don't hear what they need to hear. Hallelujah. So then they'll come and attack you while they're preaching. They don't realize they're attacking you. I had a preacher always would preach, a bishop here in Boston, and it didn't matter. When something happened and he get ear of it, he'll put it in his message. And he'll dress it up in such a way that he would think that you don't understand he's teaching about you. He's preaching about you. But, you know, a fool can understand that when the preacher is saying something that does not, that's about him or her. A fool can know that. You know, we got us how the preacher may dress it up and make it sound, hallelujah, glory to God. But here in this text here, Paul said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, who rest? Jesus' rest. The promise is that if we repent and if we turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven and he will forgive our sins and heal our land. The Bible says that God sent not his son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. So what happened is he has given us an opportunity to repent. There in John 3:17, look at it for yourself. And glory to God. Let's look at it here. Let me look at it. Let me get it verbatim, the word of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I wasn't coming on today. I was telling myself I wouldn't come on. I was just going to lay in the bed and study my Bible today. He says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is the one. He is the one. This is the only way that you can be saved. Not by Buddha, not by Muhammad, not by Confucius, not by anyone else, but Jesus. Not by your apostle, not by your bishop, not by the evangelist, not by the teacher. The teacher is going to preach. The evangelist is going to preach. The apostle, the bishop, whoever going to preach or teach. And their teaching should lead us to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A lot of times, but we can't just go and give them a watered-down message that's talking about promises and glory and holy and all this kind of stuff. We got to release the word of God as God said it that would convict the people. Then Jesus talked about the Sabbath. Do you know that the people was mad? They were mad because he see what they were doing, that they were honoring the Sabbath and not the one that gave the Sabbath. They were not concerned about the one who gave the Sabbath. He was right there before them. Oh, yes, Moses said it, and Moses said that. But how did Moses get it? Moses got it from him, from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when he said that he was the Son of the Living God, they got mad because they couldn't believe. They're looking for someone come down before them with a crown on his head and big wings flying like a supernatural, but he was supernatural in himself. He was man and he was God. Paul saying, the writer of Hebrews says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? That's what he says. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, we hear things that we don't believe. Hallelujah. Folk come for who they want to hear. You got to understand that. Don't be preaching because you want people to come to hear you. Preach because God gives you a word. And then when you're done, clear the line. Shut up. Go home. Perhaps the hardest thing for us to do is to keep on track spiritually. Deviating from the path to God's kingdom is not that difficult. Making it a constant peril. God's experience with Israel demonstrate that an entire generation died in the wilderness. We'll show you that back in the book of Exodus. A stunning witness, a review of the Israelite conduct shows that though they initially promised to obey God's command, their faith wavered over time, and they chose not to go into the promised land. We can have all of this stuff, the PhDs, the MA, the BS, and we can be all hyped up that we all this in the bag of fish in the Pepsi-Cola. But individually, we don't make it in. Why we don't make it in? Because we waver. We waver in our walk, in our sense for God. We find ourselves deviating from the path because we think we have arrived. I haven't arrived. I'm still learning. What a powerful warning that is to us who have our eyes open and take God's word seriously. Most people that are teaching and preaching the God's word don't take the word seriously. They'll tell you that when they're preaching. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. But in their heart, it's boiling, it's burning inside. Because they're not in agreement with what you're saying that's concerned with God's word. You know what I preach straight from the Bible. I preach straight from the Bible. When Paul went to the church at Corinth, when he went to the church at Ephesus, at the church at Philadelphia, where he was talking to all of these churches, Paul was rebuking them because of their lifestyle. It didn't line up with what God had told him. So he had to rebuke them. He had to expose the thing that was taking the people away from God. He didn't go in there and say, "Well, God, no, God promised to give you milk and honey, and this is what you're going to get." No, God promised all these things for us. God promised to bless us, but we got something to do in order to get the blessings. We have to be obedient, and we have to stay on track. We can't be on track because God has given us a couple of jobs. God has opened a door for us to get some work. And say, "Oh, yeah, God has blessed me." No, we got it on track. We stay on track. We got to, if we get the jobs or don't get the jobs. You know? I just ran and gave a lady a proposal yesterday for $18,000. And that $18,000 is going to go up, from what I'm looking at, somewhere to about $28,000 to $36,000, because she want more stuff done. Somewhere around there. So I'm not boasting about that, because all I'm going to do is give people, bless people, you know, but I got to stay on track with this word of God, the way God tells me to deliver it. I'm not delivering this to please no bishop, no apostle, no evangelist, apostle, no teacher. I'm delivering this to please God. And God tells me that there's too much stuff going on in the church now. This is what he gave me. He may give you a message to preach about prosperity. That's your message. If that's what you believe he gives you. He may give another person to preach about repentance. And that's your message that you believe that's what he gives you. But I believe God tells me to say what's going on in the church so people will wake up. People are in a dead sleep. Churches are in a dead sleep. They don't have to come on the line. I don't care if they come. If they come, they come. If folk come on the line, they come on the line. If they want to run off the line because it says apostle preach all the time about the church, that's fine. Don't come. I'm going to come on as God gets, when he wakes me up in the morning, I'm going to come and put a word on here. I say, "Lord, I thank you for the breath you give me. And so bless the Lord, bless the rest of the day." And I'm going to close the line and go home. Just like that. That's my thing. And I'm going to be blessed because God is blessing me. What is powerful? This is so much. In the book of Exodus, they say that thousands of people died in the wilderness. Thousands of Israelites. Because of their disobedience, because of their stiff-neckedness, because they're hardened hearts. And it's a powerful warning to us who have our eyes opened to take God's word seriously. One can make a case from the New Testament that many of us will not enter God's kingdom because, like Israel, we will fritter away our chance. Does not Jesus warn that only those who endure to the end will be saved in Matthew chapter 24 and 13? Jesus said this. They said, why would Jesus say that? I would think that everybody's going to be saved. No, he said, only those that endure to the end, only those that stay in faith, towards God, obedience towards God, walking holy towards God, going to make it in. Talking right around, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I want to make it in. Nobody have a sure word saying that they're going to make it in. I hear people say, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says, I'm going to heaven. Well, if you don't live to go to heaven, you're not going to heaven. That's why I said I got to live again. You know, I got to live again. A woman told me yesterday, she said she gave a man $25,000 to do some work for her. He come and start the job, did some work. And then not only did he do some work, but he took a half a system, an air conditioning unit, brand new in the box, and never showed back up. Well, she was scared. She said, well, I don't know, because she got to give me $12,000 down payment. So I said, well, the last job that I just did, the woman gave me $9,000 down payment to pick up the material. I said, I'm not going to take your money and go somewhere with your money, because, see, I'm living to live again. This is not about the job. It's my relationship that I have to God. I'm not going to let nobody pull me away from that. Nobody. Not money, not gifts, not nothing. Why? Hallelujah, because you can't buy your way into heaven. You got to live your way into heaven through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one coming to the Father except through me. If you come in anywhere, any other way, you're a thief and a robber. It's in the book of John. You're a thief and a robber. You ever say, God, here. Does not Peter warn that even the righteous are scarcely saved? 1 Peter 4:18. Even the righteous are safely scared, saved. Even the righteous. Hallelujah. 1 Peter, let's go over there. 1 Peter, I got all these scriptures written now. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 4 in verse 18. Chapter 4 in verse 18. Let's read it like it is. For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Where? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing as unto a faithful creator. Now, how are we going to get there? That's how we're going to get there, people. Peter tell us we gotta commit our life. Hallelujah. We're gonna suffer. Our soul represents our life, our spiritual life. Commit our souls to him. Why do you commit your soul by being holy? Obedient to his word. What we do is pick apart other people's messages. And then we go into our message and do our message to cut them up, to make them look bad, like people don't know what you're talking about. I know what people are preaching about. I listen to too many messages. Bishop used to come on the line, come on, not the line. He used to come on in the church building, and somebody on Section 8, and he'd say, folk on Section 8 and don't even know how to live this and do this and do that. People know they're talking about, he's talking about it. You don't call nobody name, but people know who's on Section 8 and who getting money from the government and who not getting money. Does not Jesus also warn that the broad way leads to destruction and many take it? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, we read that last week. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. People are going to go where it's happy. Where there is a tickle, they're going to go where they can rejoice. You got people talking against their own peers. They gossip. Don't call me the gospel of a pastor this body, a bishop this body, or evangelist this body. I don't want to hear. I have time for that. That's why I don't talk to too many people. I come from doing my job and I get in the bed. I get a shower and lay across the bed and read my Bible, study my Bible. I don't have too many people calling me. Because too many people are gossiping. They look in your face and say they love you. They love you. rather than faking us, they should steer us to push on. God has not let us alone. He will release us from our bondage and set us on the path to his kingdom, also empower us to make it. He gives us gifts in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. He gives us gifts. The gifts are there for us to help the body to grow. But first, in order for us to get new stuff, we got to get rid of the old stuff. But if the pastor's not telling you that you have to stop fornicating, stop committing adultery, stop drinking beer, and stop drinking cognac and gin and vodka and all this kind of stuff, and stop going to the strip club, guess what happens? You're going to think that you can go to the strip club. You, the church, is not the building. You can still go to the strip club and you can still drink and get high and all this stuff and go to church and sing in the choir, because pastor wouldn't tell you nothing about that. This is what the gifts are for. Hallelujah. The gifts are for correction and rebuke and edifying and lifting up and all that stuff, even tearing down. The gifts is to do this. When Jesus begins to minister to the people, they come against him. The priests, the very priests that were supposed to stand with Jesus, came against him. Some of the apostles got stoned. Some of the deacons got stoned. Some of the evangelists got stoned in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Listen to me. They got stoned for preaching the truth because the truth would cut people. It would even cut some ministers that don't preach the truth, that preach a half-truth because they want to be loved. I don't care about being loved by nobody. I'm loved by Jesus. How do I know this? When I should have died, he saved me. When I should have been dead, he saved me. I'm loved by Jesus. My wife don't even have to love me. I'm loved by Jesus. My children don't have to love me. I'm loved by Jesus. That's all that matters. But we have gifts. Hallelujah. And access to him to receive help in time of need. Jesus has given us gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I got to get this thing inside here. I don't even know if I'm get where I want to be. Because I come back, I got to go get the scripture that I got programmed for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Listen to Paul. He would not have you without information. This is what he's saying. I'm going to give you what you need in order for you to continue to walk on as a disciple, as a part of the body of Christ. He's talking to the church. You know, I talk to the church all the time. That's what I do. That's my call. My call is not your call. So Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, meaning he would not have them without the information or the knowledge or the wisdom that they need concerning the word of God. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. In other words, they were worshiping idol gods. Even as you were led. He said, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called of Jesus, a curse. Now, if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to find yourself calling Jesus something that he's not. You know that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Kings. You know that he is Alpha and Omega. You know that he is the beginning and the end. So that's what you're going to call him. You know that he's the sovereign God. He was man in the flesh, and he was God in the flesh. So you will call him that. You're not going to say, well, he wasn't God. Some people say, well, they don't believe. They go to church and say, I go to the building and say, I don't believe that Jesus, that God came to the earth. They say, some people say, saying that stuff, dumb stuff, because they have not had understanding. They don't believe that he's God. Hallelujah. So, God breaks this thing down for them. And he talks about, he says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. See, when you get that understanding, when the Holy Ghost comes inside your heart and living in your heart, he begins to live on the throne of your heart. You no longer control him, but you have a
Your heart of hunger and thirst for righteousness. Your heart is zeal because now you've got a better understanding. There's something inside of you prompting you, giving you understanding, making things clear, making the word of God clear to you to understand. We got to expose this watered-down church. People want to hear about prosperity. People want to hear about diamonds and gold and new car and all this stuff. The promises are there for us in the Bible, but with the promise, we have something to do. He told you in Deuteronomy, if you do this, I will give you this. If you do that, you will get that. He told you right there. It's in the book. But we don't want to preach them kind of messages. We want to tell people about all this good stuff. All this good. That's why the prosperity message is so strong. Folk running to the prosperity church building and they're packing it out. Why? Because they're getting what they want. They got power, so they got itchy ears. They're getting what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. We need to preach this message that folk will be convicted and turn away from this sin. How can you go to church and see you love Jesus and it's so good and then the next minute you're cussing? You get mad and cuss your family member out, cuss your wife out, cuss your husband out, cuss your daughter out. What you say, you say. And you don't repent. Then you go somewhere and preach at some big elaborate church and you're so profound, you're so educated, and you can deliver the message with such authority. But you messed up on the inside. Because nobody told you that you shouldn't be fornicating. You shouldn't be going to the hotel with a husband that's not your husband or a wife that's not your wife. You're doing all this stuff, committing adultery, you're lying and cheating because the church would not tell you not to do this. And if you talk to that about the church, or you shouldn't say that about the church. You ought to tell them about prosperity. Tell them about getting this because the promises of the end, amen. Tell them all that good stuff. Go back and study Jesus' teaching. Study the apostles' teaching. They didn't just come in there with soft stuff. Look at what Peter and John and the apostles in the church in the book of Acts. And when the people come in and lying and stuff and with the gifts and stuff, what happened? They're dying at the altar. They're dying at the altar. Problem that is because we under grace, we're getting away with a lot. Not, I don't say getting away, but we think that we're getting away with a lot of stuff because we're under grace, because we can do a lot of stuff behind closed doors and in the dark and think God don't see. Listen, let me go back in here. I want to get this message because I might not get where I want to go today, but I'll come back there someday next week. I want to go into Exodus chapter 32, but I want to get this piece of scripture inside here. My God, that the Lord put in this message. He's talking about the gift that God has given to the church in order for the church to go and do what the church is called to do. These gifts are here so that when these men of God and women of God get up there, they're not going to play around. They don't have to go around trying to put stuff together to sound eloquent. It's not about sounding good and looking nice. It's about delivering a message that's going to bring the church together. That's going to bring the church in the same mindset. They're going to have the one mind, one spirit, having one baptism, one Lord. They're going to begin to want to live holy. They say, no, I didn't know that I couldn't do this anymore. I didn't know I couldn't do this anymore. Young, beautiful woman I just saw on YouTube last night. Beautiful. She was beautiful. And she goes and pays all of these hundreds of, if not thousands of dollars to put all these tattoos on her face. All around her neck and all her arm. Had a good job. She looks like a demon all around her eyes. Look like a demon. She got all around her eyes. Like blackness like all around her eyes. Tattoo all around her eyes. All around her face. She got this thing like wire. That make like wire mess around her mouth and stuff. Tattoo makeup. Tattoo she had. And the man said, you can't work here no more. You can't work here anymore. No. She on Facebook and on YouTube. Want people to plead for her. And they see when they pick up that demonic spirit, you can't go and plead for them. They need to give their life completely to Jesus. But see, Satan is raging and rampant in the earth right now that even the church don't want to talk about him. They don't want to talk about him. And people are slipping and drifting away from God because the church would expose the stuff. And they're in the church with all this stuff. If they had him before they got saved, so be it. But they ought not be putting more stuff and putting more earrings and more navel ring and tongue ring and all that stuff. And you're in the church now. You're part of the body of Christ. But the preacher won't tell you about this stuff. Go back to Leviticus, you'll see it over there. The piercing and the touching and all that stuff. But they don't talk about it.
Let me tell you about some. Let me tell you about some promises God has for you.
He says, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We got different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that's operating in us, that's causing these gifts to come alive. It's the same Spirit. He says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. We got different people in different positions, but they still have the same Spirit, the same Lord. It's not two Lords inside the church. It's not two Jesus Christ. It's not two Holy Ghosts. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. So we got different things that we do. We got different skills. The Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, has gifted us. He has gifted us, and then he gave us the Holy Ghost to help us to perform these gifts. How are we going to say we serve with the Holy Ghost? But you're holding malice inside of your animosity in your heart, because my spirit is not your spirit. The bishop's spirit is not your spirit. The apostle's spirit is not your spirit. The deacon's spirit is not your spirit. The Bible talks about that right here. Different operation, but the same Lord. Listen to what he says. I'm glad that my pastor knows some of the scriptures. I'm glad that my bishop knows some of the scriptures. I'm glad that my deacon knows some of the scriptures. Why? Because it helps me grow. And because he can find them quicker than I can find them, I'm not envious of that. She can find them quicker than I can. I'm not envious. I'm not envious. Why? Because it's helping me. You can get it faster than I get. That's good. Praise God. One day I'll get to that place. Too much envy and jealousy in Christ, in the church, not in Christ. In the body of, I like to call the church of men. If you know my weakness, call me and tell me about my weakness. Don't let me go to hell. I always say that. But folk can't take no rebuke. Folk can't take no rebuke. I've been taken. Hallelujah. And I know exactly what to do. Glory to God. But I listen to the Holy Ghost. But I wasn't going to come on today. The Lord knew I wasn't going to come on. I ran back and forth yesterday, dropping off contracts and stuff, and I was tired. Got the heat on that house. You know, I'm fine. I was supposed to call that lady to talk about my money, but I ain't even call her. Because I was tired. I was sick. And the Holy Ghost prompted me this morning. He said, I told him to get you, man. He said, look, get up and turn on the computer. Put a message in there. I didn't have this program last night. I put this in something about a little after 10 o'clock this morning. I didn't transplant it, but you got to follow. He said, look, oh my God, listen. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. This, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. See, your anointing, your anointing is not just for you. My anointing is not just for me. My anointing is for everybody. Everybody that called upon the name of Jesus Christ. It's not for the sinner, man. We have to go to them and minister repentance to them, as Jesus is Lord to them. And then when they repent and commit their life to him, accept him as Lord and Savior, then they can receive. See, because why? They're ignorant. That's what the Bible said. They're ignorant until they get the understanding of who Jesus is. That's why we got to break this thing down and break them from where they are. Let them know that the lifestyle they're living is contrary to God's way, and break it down for them to understand so they can be convicted. Because without conviction, there's no growth. Give them people all soft soap message all the time, preaching the honey message. They don't grow. They're not going to grow. They're not going to be convicted to stop sinning. It wasn't like the apostle told me, said, look, son, you can't keep doing what you're doing and expect Jesus going to come to you. No. You're going to stop. And then the Holy Ghost comes to the altar. I'm at the altar. Everybody's getting touched. Pastor not even laying hands on them. He passing and people falling out. The Holy Ghost moving. Holy Ghost moving. All he does is preaching, ministering the word of God. Not even speaking in tongues, just ministering the word of God and walking, and people falling down. And I said to myself, why can't I experience that? And the Holy Ghost ministered to my praise, his son, because your temple is dirty. Why? Because I was still using crack cocaine. I was still womanizing. But I was in the church. And when one day the pastor is coming, the Holy Ghost just using him, so you can't, and he was saying to the people, he said, you can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect God's going to use you. You can't keep doing what you're doing and expect God's going to come to you and change you. No, you got to be willing to change. You got to repent from where you are so you can get where you need to be. And so people don't want to talk this stuff. Jesus went to the temple to tell them and whip them and chase them out the temple. See, my father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer. You make it a den of thieves. So before you go in there and say, y'all just doing well. Y'all doing good. Y'all making money. Y'all going to give offerings to the church. Suppose he had done that. Someone said, well, he's a good preacher. He's a good prophet. He's a good evangelist. He's a good pastor. They would have seen that. Well, they said they got mad then. Well, we're going to try to figure out how to get this dude because he's causing too much problems. Every time he comes in town, he's causing problems. So we're going to have to figure out how to get the way. That's how people do. They talk to each other. And your ears will be itching your nose. And my mama said, well, your nose are itching, your ears are itching. People are talking about you. Well, yesterday, people were talking about me a lot. Because I was dry, my nose was burning me. And I didn't work in no dust. The house was clean. My ears were itching. But it doesn't matter. Because nobody have a heaven or hell to put you in. See, nobody can have a heaven or hell to put me in. Jesus made a path for me. He made a path for you. It's up to us if we want to walk that path. That's what I'm talking about. Stay on track. God is leading. Don't let no one cause you to walk off the track, to deviate from the track. I watched the line. I watched the line. And I watched that people only come when certain people are preaching. I watch them. I watch all this stuff, man. I see this stuff. Don't bother me none. Because here, God is telling me something. For to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and to another, the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. Now, let's watch this. Some folks might think that they got this and got this and got that, and that they got it some special way. They think they got it some special way, so you can't get it. But the Bible says it's the same Spirit that gives you the Spirit to prophesy as giving somebody the Spirit to speak in tongues or to interpret tongues. It's the same Spirit. It's no big or small use. Because you chose, Jesus chose you, because you didn't choose him. He chose you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. He gives you access to the Father by the Spirit. The Spirit that he puts in us. And we think we all got the magnetism of Pensacola. Listen to what he says. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. See, the same Spirit is working. It's not fancy stuff that you got to go down to the supermarket and you got to do all this stuff and go down to the doctor's office. All you have to do is receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and become obedient. Be obedient to the word. You know, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai talking to God, Joshua was somewhere at the base because he couldn't go up there with God and Moses were talking. And when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, we're going to read that in the book of Exodus. The people that already had Aaron too scared. He was too scared. He was too scared. He was fighting the people because he down there by the side. His brother, his little brother going up because Aaron was older than Moses. So his little brother going up to talk to God. Joshua couldn't go up there. And the people forced him to make them a god. And Aaron told him to take off all the gold that they had. And fashion them a calf. You hear what I'm telling you? Don't let the people cause you to fashion a calf in your mind, in your spirit, man. Because that's what they do. Cause you to fashion a calf in your spirit, man, so you start worshiping some other entity. No, the only body you want to worship is Jesus Christ. Follow the word. When Moses came down from the mountain, he cast down those the Ten Commandments, the first set of ten that he had. And what happened? God had all, he had already, no, something I read in there, that Moses asked God to repent, because God was so mad, He got so upset. The Bible said that God's wrath got hot. That means he was mad. He said, Moses, no, just depart from me, just go on, so I can go on and do what I plan to do to these people, destroy them all. And Moses told God in the long and short, he said, if you destroy these people, the Egyptians going to say that you brought them out of Egypt to kill them. He said, no, just repent. Moses asked God to repent for having a mindset of wrath or evil to put on the people. And God said, okay. I didn't know that you could ask God to repent. But Moses told him to ask him to repent, told him to repent. But after Moses told all those Ten Commandments, God began to put some stuff on them, release his wrath upon Israel. Because of why? Their disobedience. They're worshiping idols. We sometimes we start worshiping our homes and our cars and all the stuff, the money that we have. Man, I give it away. Yes, yesterday we send so much thanks to Pastor Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. We send, I mean, it's on there. We send money over to Africa. Myself, last month, we send because of Apostle Washington and Apostle Jefferson. Now, when we gonna send some more? Cause when I get this other money, I send some more. We have to be ready to help the people of God. That's what we do. And it's not only giving them financial help so they can buy food and pay rent and send the kids to school. We got to give them the truth so that they turn away from living in the idolistic lifestyle. You know, when you have no people worshiping the witch doctor and going down to have the Ouija board and going to the tarot card and all, you got to tell them about that stuff in the church. Hallelujah! You got folks that go to church, can't even leave home until they read the horoscopes. But you don't want to talk none about that stuff. It's like I can't even go to the grocery store till they find out if it's favorable for me to go to the grocery store. Stupid stuff. I ain't going to go to the Lord. I'm heading out now, Lord. I'm gonna head out. No. 3 weeks to go, I want to buy a jigsaw. You know, one of them little, I want a cordless jigsaw. I had one time when I lost the truck and with everything. I had a used truck, pickup truck, GMC. And truck break down. I leave the truck. Next thing, the truck was gone. All the tools. I bought a cordless one. But I was thinking, that's about three weeks ago. I said, man, I need to get me a jigsaw because I put this tool kick heater in this house. And it's got to go right underneath the base of the sink cabinet. You cut out a little hole, a little square, and it goes in there. And it blows heat when it comes to wash the dishes. You can feel the heat hitting on your toes. And then it goes right across the room. Well, 3 weeks ago, and I have a card, a credit card, store credit card from Harbor Freight. I said, well, I got to go get this thing. Well, excuse me. I'm home and I'm praying to the Lord. I want to go get this thing. For 3 weeks, the Lord didn't let me go to that store. You know what I'm saying? For 3 weeks, the Lord didn't let me go. I don't know what was going on down there, but the Lord didn't let me go. And I didn't go. Not till day before yesterday, he said, well, you got to go down to the house and why don't you stop by the store and pick up the thing. I went and got it and come back and went to the house and come back home. You know, you don't have to read the horoscope to go. What you have to do is talk to God. Talk to the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost, should I go? No, we had an appointment to see my dentist a couple of times. And I told him, I don't want to come see him now. Two times I turned down. And when the Holy Ghost says, okay, I said, well, make an appointment, I'll go see the dentist now. You have to travel and let God use you. You don't have to read no horoscope. You don't have to use a Ouija board. You don't have to look at the palm reader. Not somebody read your hand and tell you if you should go to the house or not go to the house. Stupid stuff, man. Talk to the Holy Spirit. That's why you have him there. Jesus said, "There's feeling that I go to the Father, but I will not leave you helpless." He will leave you comfortless. He send a comforter. He come and comfort you. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, everything that Jesus told you. Give him a chance. Talk to the Holy Ghost. Understand why the apostles preach about the church. Understand why they had a prophet preach about this thing. Why they had a bishop preach about this thing. Why the deacon preach about that thing. Understand that we have different gifts, but the same spirit. Don't get on here. Cut up the bishop or the apostle because you think you know something. First, you got to come here on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll know why we preach the way we preach. Because my gift is to talk to the church of the living God. That's my gift. I go to Africa, tell them the same thing. India, tell them the same thing. Canada, I tell them the same thing. The Caribbean, I tell them the same thing. You can't keep sinning and think you're going to heaven. Oh, we want to come and tell you what the promises God has for you. God has all these promises. God want to bless you coming and bless you going. But if you read Deuteronomy 28, you'll see all how you get blessed. He's not going to bless us if we still fornicate. He's not going to bless us if we still commit adultery. Devil might bless you, you think it's the Lord. It's not the Lord blessing you. He don't bless no mess. Pastor Brown said that. He don't bless no mess. We have to walk aright. When we walk aright, he said, no good thing. If you love me and you walk aright before me, no good thing will ever flow from you. That's what he says. That's how the blessings come. But we don't want to tell the people that you got to walk aright before God. We don't want to tell them that they got to make an effort. You're not going to cross every T and dot every I. That's not what I'm saying. Because I don't cross every T and dot every I. I try every day. Yesterday I didn't cross all. Today I might cross a little bit more. I might doubt a little bit more. But not all. Listen, so we got to teach the people. Hallelujah. People are looking for favoritism. I'm not looking for no favoritism. I'm not trying to follow no crowd. I'm trying to follow the cloud. The cloud. God gave them the cloud by day and the fire by night. I want to follow the cloud. The cloud told me that I'm walking with Jesus. That's what it said. Stay on track. God is leading. I want to follow him. Not people. Not places. Not things. Things and people are going to leave you. Yeah, like they say, people don't want to come to the line because they don't like what I preach about the church. I don't care. I'm not preaching for them. I'm preaching for Jesus. That's what he told me to preach. So when they hear that they can't keep on the kid and come, keep lying and keep gossiping, being tailbearers, they're not going into heaven. Not going into heaven if you're a tailbearer, if you like to gossip, you're not going in. You still fornicating, you're not going in. You're still committing adultery, you're still stealing, you're still cussing, you're still drinking. And not going to fool, you're not going in. Go read the book of Revelation. We're going back there pretty soon. And see what you can't do. You know, position, you got a position. You got a position in the kingdom, and God give you an assignment. You don't want to honor your assignment. When you feel like honoring your assignment, you honor your assignment. When you feel like. You're not doing God no favors. People say, well, I'll go to church next week if I feel like. You're not doing God no favors. God, maybe the last chance you get to go to church, and you missed it. You missed it to go down to church and get killed on the highway going somewhere else. Listen to what it says. Let me finish this piece of here. It says, to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers or different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same spirit divided to every man severally as he will. Hear what he's saying? Hear what Paul is saying? All these different gifts working. That one and the self-same, the same spirit, the Holy Ghost, divided to every man severally as he will. Not what you want. As he will. He chose. He made the decision. Listen, let me give one more verse here, and then we're gonna go back. He said, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, and one body, so also is Christ. We gotta understand this. I got fingers and I got toes. The finger's going to do what it tells us. But I'm nothing without my toes. You ever seen anybody don't have toes and see how they walk? You need the toes. They kind of balance the feet so the feet can step right and walk right. And if you see somebody with fingers, see how they try to pick up something. Let them hold the microphone to preach it without fingers. You'll see how they hold it. No. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5. Glory to God. I'm talking about stay on track. God is needing. See, we want to stay on track because I love this bishop. I love this chief apostle of bishop on this body. We love this body. But you ought to stay on track because God is leading you. Listen what he is. He is the shepherd, the leader, the protector, the keeper. He's a strong tower. He's a sovereign God. And if he's leading us, we're going to reach our destination. But a lot of times we're trying to do stuff our own. And we say we're hearing God. It don't line up with God's word. You're defensive and all this. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear that? We are justified by faith. But faith in what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in his crucifixion. Faith in his resurrection. We're justified. Because we believe that he was crucified at Calvary. We believe that he died there on that cross. That he was buried in a borrowed tomb. We believe that God the Father raised him up on the third day. And we believe he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercessions for us. We are justified. We are put in right standing by our faith in Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? By whom also we have access. Listen. We have access. It's like somebody giving you a key. And so when you get to the house, you can unlock the door and go in. Some people I work for, they say, well, I'm going to leave a key underneath the platform or underneath the mat or over the door post, the window, the door sill. When you get there, just reach up there. It's on the right-hand corner, the left-hand corner. Or on the, and say, get the key and go in the house. Well, this is what God, what Jesus did. He gave us access. He gives the key by faith. The faith in him into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are rejoicing. Hallelujah. We're rejoicing. John chapter 10 and verse 9. That's what he says. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're rejoicing because Jesus makes us joy. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I shall go in and out and find pasture. You'll be supplied. You're going to find nourishment. You're going to get what you need. You got to come in by Jesus Christ. No. This access through prayer is without doubt one of the greatest gifts that he can give a human being. He allows us into the very presence of the sovereign creator and Lord of all, in whom is all wisdom, power, and love. He can do far more for us than we can think or ask. This is what God does. It's so important, but what happened is that most of us find ourselves drifting away from him, slipping away, because we think that we know. We don't want nobody to tell us anything. We don't want anybody to say anything to us. Do you hear me today? We think that we know. Nobody to say anything to us. Talking about staying on track. A lot of folk deviate from the plan. From what plan are you talking about, God, David? They deviate from God's plan. Let's just go to Exodus. Exodus, what we have here first? First Chronicles, chapter 13. First Chronicles, chapter 13. And let's see what we got here. And First Chronicles, chapter 13. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We have to do this thing. We have to do it right.
understand that it's not me, it's not you, but it's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost working on the inside that he gave to us. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, let's look at verse 9 to 13. He said, and when there was when they came onto the threshing floor of Shittim, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Listen to this. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put forth his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. Verse 11 says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Therefore, that place is called Perez Huzzah to this day. Now, we see that here in this particular text here, Uzzah performed his hands and touched the ark. The ark would represent the throne or the presence of the Lord. And God only wanted people that was walking in obedience or righteousness before him to even touch the ark. Only certain people could carry the ark. And these were devout men that had given their life to God. Most of them weren't even married, didn't have a spouse. They were dedicated, like Enoch. They were dedicated to the kingdom. In 1 Chronicles here, we see here, chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, the same book. And David consulted with the captain of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquire not at it in the days of Saul. No. So they had no connection. They had no connection to the ark in the days of Saul. But Saul is dead. So David said, I want to get back with doing the things that I was doing before I connect with Saul. I want to get back in the presence of the Lord. But David must be had some instructions from the Lord early in chapter 11 and 12. So David wants to go and get the ark. He sent it for people to get the ark. The ark was taken away from them. Now, so David gathered all Israel together from Shehor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kadesh-Zeran. And David went up unto all Israel to Bera, that is to Kiriath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up first the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart, but out of the house of the Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahiah drove the cart. And David and all Israel prayed before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harp, and with psalteries, and with timbrels and cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came onto the threshing floor, we read it. Now we see what happened here. David and the other Levites and all the people of Israel, they're praising God. They're singing and worshiping because they have the ark of God. They have the presence of God with them.
How much are we, how much of us are praising and worshiping God? How much of us are edifying and exalting the name of the Lord? Now we say, well, we have no time for that. We have no time for that. Glory to God. Now we had the woman from Tennessee, Cheryl will be here tomorrow bringing the word. She's going to bring the strong word tomorrow, as always. First Chronicles introduced us in this episode contained a presumptuous act, immediately falling by a sovereign display of divine justice. However, this time, one of the most respected names in Israelite history is directly involved. It is the story of Husha, sudden death while moving the Ark of the Covenant, the most sacred and revered of Israel objects. The Ark, representing the throne of God and containing the tablet of stone Moses received from God on Mount Sinai, normally resided in the Holy of Holies. David desired to move the Ark to Jerusalem to continue to consolidate the kingdom under himself. As they were moving it on the ox cart, the oxen stumbled, and the ark appeared to be toppling to the ground. Husha, in what may have been pure reflex, put out his hand to study the ark. But upon touching it, he was immediately struck dead. At first, David was angry that God ruined his party, as the whole atmosphere of the ark transfer was celebratory. But shortly after, he became extremely fearful. See, when you see the power of God, David was kind of upset that God had taken one of his officers, Husha. But afterwards, he become fearful. All of them become fearful because they see the power of God's authority. God said, don't do this, don't do it. Hallelujah. We have to work together to glorify God. Not apart. There's no big eyes. I never ever in my time, even in my trade, and I'm good at what I do. God has gifted me. So that when they see me doing this, they say, man, you got great skill. I know we had some problems on this job from the electrician. And I had to tell him, I'm not an electrician, but I can do a lot of stuff, electrical stuff. And same thing I was telling him, then the inspector come and told him the same thing. Because he didn't have enough breakers in the box. And he had to put another subpipe. Well, he put that up yesterday. So I always trust God. I told him yesterday, I always trust God. When I don't know stuff, and even when I know stuff, I still ask God. Because he know more than I have. He know more than I know. And really when I ask him, he makes my job. He makes whatever I'm doing easier for me. So I'm able to do it. David was upset because God had killed Husha. But the Bible says that after he realized and see God's authority, that every man was afraid. Every man, boy or girl, whoever was there, became fearful because they see the power of God. No. The Bible shows God to be long-suffering and slow to anger. Why did they not hear his voice from heaven saying, thank you, Husha, for keeping the ark from getting damaged and dirty? Instead, he extorted his anger and slew Husha on the spot. However, God had given strict instructions for transporting the ark. It's found in Numbers chapter 4, verse 4, all these descriptions that I got here. Verse 15, verse 17 to 20. This is the service of the sons of Korah in the tabernacle of meeting, relating to the most holy things. And when Aaron and his son have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, When the camp is set to go, then the sons of Korah shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. This is the command here in the book of Numbers that God has given them. They shall not touch any holy thing. They shall have carried the other stuff, the other vessel, but no holy thing they should touch. It says, shall not touch the holy, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meetings, which the sons of Korah are to carry. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, do not cut off the tribe of the family of the Korahites from among the Levites, but do this in regard to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint each of them to his service and his task, but they shall not go to watch while the holy things are being covered, lest they die. God always gives us the instruction that we need before we fall short. He don't wait till we fall into a mess. God gives us 10 commandments, what to do and what not to do. He tells us straight, it's right there. But we have gotten to a place where we forget the 10 commandments because we say we're under grace, we're not under the law. That's why so much people are, they're murdering, they're coveting, they're leasing, they're doing all this stuff. You understand? Because they say we're under grace. And yes, we're under grace. Jesus said he did not come to abandon or abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The law is fulfilling Christ. But the law says faith. Because God don't want you to kill. He don't want you to cover your neighbor's wife as ox or ass or anything that's his. He don't want you to worship nobody else but him. You understand? This is the Ten Commandments. But we've gotten away. So you find the young people today, ask some of these young people that haven't grown up in church, ask them anything but the Ten Commandments. Even some that grew up in church don't know the Ten Commandments. I was at a church with a young lady, she was about 13 years or something, and she was asking me, how can there be God and the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost? And she said, how can there be one? And she's in a church that's been, the pastor's been teaching for 30-some years. And he's a well-educated man. Now, he used to be a school teacher. Principal or something. But the kids don't even know. And they're thinking that it's three gods. Not one God. Because we're not teaching them itself. Nobody talking about sin in the church. I've been in the church for 7 years and never heard them preach about sin. Never hear them preach about sin. They have the homosexual church, they have the lesbian in the church, and they don't say nothing about sin because they're afraid these people write big checks. I'm talking against sin. So the church is messed up. And the church needs to be corrected before Jesus comes. And drop some of these pastors on the floor. We need to get up and we need to, those of us that know the truth, preach the truth. And we're not going to compromise. I went over to Pastor Short Church and Pastor Joyce Church where the watchman's over there. And they preach the truth, the uncompromising truth. They don't water down the word. They're great teachers. They teach the truth. And they teach the truth. Those kids over there know the truth. They're not going to mess around with the truth because they know the truth. And you can't tell them a lie. But this is what we have to do. Folk don't want to tell you nothing. I'm not going to water down God's word. When this prophet comes tomorrow, your prophetess comes tomorrow, you'll see. She's not going to water down the word either. Listen, the Bible nowhere indicates that Hushai was a Kohathite. If he was, what God did is even more understandable. Everyone in the whole procedure from David on down was guilty of disobeying God's instruction regarding the most holy things. Now, I've been to churches where they got kids in the church. And the kids, while the pastor preaching, is running all through the sanctuary. And nobody say anything to them. They forget that this is a holy place. Sometimes they walk across the altar. I've seen this. And nobody say anything. I'm not talking about little babies that just start crawling or just start to walk. I'm talking about kids that are 13 and 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, some even 18. I've seen this. Nobody don't look at the altar as truly a holy place. They don't see it that way. They think like any other place in the world. David said to consult with the high priest. Any priest, for that matter, regarding how the ark should be moved. Evidently, no priest protested that proper procedure were not being followed. We as pastors and leaders, we have to take a stand when it comes to the house of God. It's not just an ordinary house. It is the house of God. But we take it literally and we say, well, this is my church. But we forget it's the house of God. I'm just a watchman. Blog Talk really belongs to God. I said it from 2010. Not belongs to David Candler. That's why we never will shut down. If it goes down, it's because the satellite system is acting up, but not because that we weren't able to pay for it. And even if our car was compromised, the people keep it up. The blocked out organization keep it on. They don't say, well, they didn't pay their monthly responsibility. They didn't pay it up. So we're going to shut them down. They never, because why is God like? You can't shut down God's stuff. We have people coming. We have prophets and prophets and witches come against Blog Talk ready to try to shut down. Bring all kinds of stuff. Say all kinds of stuff about me. Don't know nothing about me. Never met me. We don't even know if they're still living. Can't hear nobody call their name. Nowhere. But you can't stop what belongs to God. Don't care who you are. Where you are. The Korahites were not even supposed to look on the uncovering ark. To God, when Uzzah reacted out and touched the ark as it seemed about to topple off the cart, it was no act of heroism, but the final act of desecration, arrogance, and presumption. The last thing presumed was that Uzzah's hand was less defiled than the earth that he said would contaminate the ark. God instructed in Exodus chapter 20, verse 24 and 25, regards building him an altar made for his worship. Had to be constructed of earth. Why did God want an altar constructed of earth? Because the earth, the dirt, had no sin. Do you understand? It had no sin. But man had sin in his life. The last thing presumed was Uzzah. When his hands touched it, would defile it. The earth that he said would contaminate the ark. God regards that man was full of sin and that the ark was a holy unto the Lord. God wanted an altar made for him, hewn from stone. No altar defiled by man's sinful hand was suitable. Dirt cannot sin. It always follows the nature God established. God did not want the symbol of his throne contaminated by the evil that manifested itself in the whole string of rebellion against his specific instructions. There was nothing arbitrary, capricious, or whimsical in God's action. Jesus teaches us to address God as Father. It tells us suggested familiarity, yet we are also to pray, hallowed be your name. God showed in these two incidents that if reverence is due to the symbol used in his worship, how much greater reverence must be given to the reality of the new covenant. Those involved in this incident were well intentioned, but it is strange for all generations that God still requires conformity with his directives concerning holy objects. Deviation from adultery could be deadly. Sometimes we deviate from the plan to bring forth our own plan. But God says that we must stand on his plan. Because why? His plan is the right plan. We cannot go to the left or to the right. If we're going to be officers of the church, we're going to have to know that it's all about God, not about us. Number one, we're going to have to take a stand for righteousness. I want God to say that David is righteous. I want God to say that David is holy. Do you hear me today? This should be our main objective. I want to live a life that God is pleased with. I'm not trying to please pastor. I'm not trying to please apostle. I'm not trying to please bishop. I'm not trying to please the evangelist. I'm not trying to please the usher. I'm not trying to please the deacon. I'm not trying to please the janitor. I'm trying to please God. When I walk out my house and I go into somebody's house to work, I'm trying to please God. I want them to see me as a servant of God, manifesting his very presence when they come into their house. That's where I'm living. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know somebody says one time where I don't know if the message really goes out to all the world. Well, I send it out. And I get messages back from India. I get messages from Holland. I get messages from where this place is. Denmark, Holland. I get messages from Germany. I get messages from India, Africa. I get messages from Canada. I get messages from the Caribbean. Well, somebody says, one time in their anger, I don't even know if the message go out. Well, they get on the airplane, I'll go up on the satellite and follow the message. Well, I don't send out to the computer. And I get people inbox me on the messenger. I had a call last night from Africa on the messenger. People call why? And they say, well, I thank you for the message. Yesterday, thank you for the message. But, you know, the devil caused us to say stuff out of our mouth that did not line up with God's word. My message is to talk to the church of the living God. My message is to talk to the church of Maine. My message is not to have no potty cake message. I'm not trying to tickle nobody ear. If you don't like my teaching, don't come. Simple. You're not going to stop me from teaching. You're not going to stop me from doing what God called me to do. I'm going to say what God said. I'm trying to please nobody because I'm not looking for the crowd. Like I said, I'm looking for the cloud. Not the crowd, the cloud. It's a difference. They sound almost similar, but I'm not looking for the crowd. People want a crowd. They want people calling them and fellowshipping and talking to them. And it's, well, this is my friend. This is my sister. This is my daughter. This is that. They want that stuff. I need that stuff. I need more God, less of me. I need more of God and less of David. This got a lot of God, a lot of stuff to go in here. In First Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6:20. Let's go there. The last book. Paul talks, he said, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling." Stop that gossiping. Don't be cursing. Avoid people that love to say that they drink two or two drinks and then they're cussing in your presence, in your ear gate. I love you to life, but I'm not going to tolerate that foolishness. Hallelujah. If you don't, I'm saying this, I'm just going on a doctor. If you don't want to fellowship with me, you don't have to. Simple. Nobody's forcing nobody to come to Blog Talk Radio. It's going on recording. I'm still going to come on here every day that I have a chance. If God give me a job to make money to help the poor, I ask the Lord to release me to go that day, and he does. And you know, I send out money to the poor. And I come back, the next day I come, if he allow me to come. Lord, I have breath, I'll come. I'm Blog Talk, going to stay here. Two people, three people, five people, a thousand people, Blog Talk going to hear till I die. Really what I'm telling you. It's going to be here. I'm putting enough scripture inside of me that even when they take away the computer off, the Bible off the computer, I still have enough word in my heart that I can minister to people. Apostle Stuart, he can't see, naturally, but he has enough word inside his belly, in his heart, that he ministers straight out of his heart. And he can tell his wife, Pastor George, go to this book, go to that book, go to that book. And she'll find the book. And he's write the same thing in scripture he says. Hallelujah. And he can minister right after and maintain everything you hear. Why? Because he's putting it in. Listen to what he said. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. See, the word of God is, God, we give us this word. We got to keep this word. We cannot water this down this word because some other sister or some other brother is calling us and telling us, well, you know, I think he talked too much about the church. Well, so if we don't correct each other, how are we going to get correction from the world? If you don't correct me, can I go to the world for correction? No. I'll die and go to hell. You know the truth. We know the truth. Hallelujah. And if I'm deviating from the truth, you want to come and say, Apostle, well, this you said, yeah, that on Blog Talk Radio wasn't the truth. It wasn't God's word. Well, no, I can deal with you. But if I'm preaching what Jesus said to preach, why are you going to come against me that I preach too much about the church? I know what y'all saying. But go and look at Paul. Go and look at Paul. And not only Paul, look at Jesus, Dr. Jesus. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look at every word that he spoke to the seven churches. And this is the seven natural churches. There's only one spiritual church, and that church of Jesus Christ. But he's speaking to seven natural churches in the book of Revelation. And every one of them got rebuked. Even the one that he loved. See, but you got one thing I found against you. You left your first love. You've done some good works. But you let you first. You deviate from the truth. We got to stop this thing, man. And let the devil come in and prompt us to say stuff that don't let up with God's word. Paul talked to every church, everyone he went to. Corinthian church was having all kind of financial problems and fussing with who is this and who is that. And Paul been correct them, bring correction. He didn't went over there and said, let me give you a glass of milk and some ice cream. Let me give you some honey. He tell them the truth. He talked to them. Tell them what they were doing was wrong. And that's what we're supposed to be. This is why the church of men is falling apart. Don't have no power. Because we won't speak the truth to let people walk out of sin and walk into righteousness. So God can brag about the church that men is supposed to be having the church of God. Don't you want God to brag about you? He bragged about Job. Job is the only one God bragged about. He called Abraham friend, but he thought he bragged about Job. To Satan, to his adversary, he bragged about him. Job is a righteous man, upright man, one who eschew evil. He bragged to Satan. Paul told Timothy, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babbling and oppositions of saints, falsely so-called. Hear what we say. Don't get in no debate with people about the scripture. If you teaching and preaching the truth, just stay right there. Don't deviate from it. Preach the truth. If somebody want to preach about prosperity and blessings, let them preach that. Remember I taught that there's many gifts, but the same spirit. One Lord. It's the same. If you want to preach about getting rich, well, preach that. Maybe that's what God wants you to preach about. But make sure it's all that you come line up with the word of God. Make sure that, he says. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Some folks are professing this thing, but not living it. Because if we are operating under the same banner of righteousness, we ought to be able to see that God is speaking to all of us. And he has given us different assignments. Mother Grant got an assignment. Her assignment is to go and feed the poor. She goes and gets food and put it in her freezers, and then she cooks it, and she goes from different, in the slums, in the ghettos, where the people are out there begging, on the side, sleeping on the side of the street, and she feeds them. Put up her car, a single woman, and she takes out food and give them plates and fork, knife and fork, and give them to eat. You know, plastic fork and plastic knife. And give them to eat, feed them. That's her ministry. Can I talk against that? But she shouldn't be going down there because she's... No, because God gave her ministry. And God is going to protect her when she goes out, even if she can't see it. He's protecting her. There's angels standing with her when she's out there dishing out that food. That's why nobody can touch her. Well, we come up against stuff, you know, because, you know, when you get two people running their mouth and they're gossiping about another Christian brother, they end up seeing the wrong things. And it's offensive. And I hear the stuff in the ministry. I hear the stuff. You know, God, I preach about the church. I go and travel and I preach about the church. Why? Because that's my assignment. I'm not trying to wreck the church. I'm trying to erect the church to see the truth. You got people, I was announcing again, people that preaching the gospel, apostle. They're preaching the gospel and going to the rich doctor. You hear what I tell you? Preaching that I know. Preaching the gospel and going to the rich doctor. Why you got to go to the rich doctor? Because of the palm of Vita. But if you don't export that stuff, they think it's all right. Because now they say, well, you know, I got power. What kind of power do you have? They say, I got power. You don't have no power. You got satanic, demonic power and laying hands on the children of God. But if you don't have somebody that's going to come and preach against that stuff, now we all be the blind leading the blind. I'm not talking about natural blind. We all be, spiritual blind. We're talking about all naturally blind, leading the blind. Spiritually blind, yes. Spiritually blind, leading the blind. People that don't know the truth. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. We have not even getting to the end of scripture. We'll go back there next time, though, to Exodus chapter 32. And we've got to work that scripture, because we've got to show you how the people come in and how they came against Moses and Aaron and how they conned Aaron to doing what they want to do. See, you got to be careful. People will have you teaching and preaching what they want you to preach. But you got to preach what God says you preach. I don't tell nobody what to preach. I don't ever call up no preacher. Tell no preacher, well, you should preach this subject today of that. I don't tell nobody. If you say you're going to preach in Texas, in Tennessee, when Darlene first come with me in 2010, I should help out with the scripture and stuff. And after she get the breath of what you need to do, I stop telling her stuff. I let her say, well, you pray and ask God when he want you to teach, and he'll show you. And she started getting stuff from God. She said, just go to God. God don't want to tell you what God want you to do. You go on. Let God lead you. And then she started getting real strong. But I was there for her when she was weak to help her. And after she get on her foot and get an understanding, I pull back. But, you know, when you get people get together and they get on that telephone, I call them the telephone, and they get to talking and they get to lifting up, talking about this body and the next body and all that kind of stuff, and you see it saved and sanctified. Man, check yourself. Deacon Freddie said, check your stuff before you wreck your stuff. You got to check your stuff because that's the devil. That's the devil. If you call me and stop, you want to talk about a pastor this or a bishop this, I said, no, man, I don't have no time for that. I can't talk to you about that. If you got something you want to talk to bishop about, go call him up. Talk, pastor, call him up. But don't start telling me about that. I don't have time for that. That's why I don't call people on the phone, because I ain't got time for that. I always say my time is getting close, you know. When I was 16, I had a little way going. But now I'm 72, I'm close. I mean, I got 3 score, 10 plus 2 already. So I'm close. I mean, if he give me 126 like I asked him for when I was young, 106, I'd be fine. But I'm closer than that when I begin. Still closer. No, so I have to keep on this thing. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to pray with you today. I just want to pray. You hear this word, and you see how Israel was disobedient and how they deviate from the word and from following the unction of the Holy Ghost, the leading of the man of God that was leading them. They go back and forth doing what they feel, what they want to do. Well, I want to give you an opportunity today. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says that Jesus said, God said, not his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said that himself, this Bible has been read. He said that himself. Yes, glory to God. He also said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that's Jesus, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know that today, when you start to preach the truth, people are going to move from you, because why? We are living in a time where Satan has really showed up his ugly head. He showed up his ugly head, and people are running, doing whatever they do. I told you about that young lady I saw on YouTube and on the news, and she had this man, her face. I mean, and you could just picture, if you remove the tattoos and looking at her, she was so gorgeous, Caucasian girl. And but she put all this stuff on her face. Now, I mean, I know they say you can get that stuff removed with laser, but it would cost just as much money, if not more, to have a laser, and it would take much longer than it takes to put them on. She got all around her neck, all around her face, all around, her eyes. All around her eyes is completely black, or black, blue out. I think the ink is blue, dark blue. Because this is what Satan tell them. This is what, you know, they say, well, let me put a scripture on my arm. Let me put a scripture on my arm. No, they not vote that. They put 3 crosses on them and put the cross upside down. They've got 666 on their cheek, on their jaw. So when you look off on their forehead, so when you see them, you see 666 on them. Because this is what Satan is doing. You know, he's prompting them to go against everything that's holy, everything that's righteous. And if you don't want to tell them, if you don't want to tell them this stuff, guess what happened? You find yourself drifting too. See, the truth is what's going to keep us free. The more we preach the truth, the freer we're going to have, we're going to become. But the less we preach the truth, the more we'll find ourselves drifting into darkness. The song man said, sing that song, slipping into darkness. We're going to find ourselves slipping into darkness. So we have to preach the truth. Somebody might get mad at you, but guess what happened? Your soul going to get stronger. The more you preach the truth, the stronger your soul. Some people don't believe in healing. They say about healing, then they doubt. They complain. But if you want healing, you got to believe all. Believe it. Trust God. Speak it, believe it, and leave it alone. I say on my car, God said it, I believe it, and that sells it. That's on my license plate. God said it, I believe it, that sells it. I don't have to think anymore. I don't have to wrestle anymore. I know God going to take care. God is taking care of all of my needs. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. God is taking care of all of my needs. When I pray in that bed, I say, Lord, I need to help the poor. I need to help the widows. I need to help the fathers. I need to help the orphans. Guess what happened? He send work. And he send people that going to give to Blog Talk Radio. Because they know I'm not going to buy no suit. I ain't going to buy no shoes. I ain't going to buy no food. I'm going to give it to the people, because that's what I do. I sent out hundreds and hundreds of dollars yesterday. On Western Union.
And I got calls from two different families from Africa. Now, this weekend, I send money to India. Understand? We got to do, if you say you're going to do, do. We don't play with God money. We don't play with God people. We're right up, straight up front. Straight up front. And I told my wife, I said, how much money you got in the bank that lost the church? She said, well, you got this and this and that. I said, okay, honey. Well, I got to send it out tonight. I got to send it out. And I said, that's okay. It's only there for us to use. Send it to the people. So when we do that, God, in turn, he blesses me. So you're honest with a little bit, I'm going to make you ruler with much. I'm going to give you some more money. Hallelujah. Very soon I start this big job. And I will be on Blog Talk Radio. Because I got to make the money to help the people. Here, the Bible says, number one, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's in Romans chapter 3 and 23. All, you, me, all of us. Adam and Eve sinned. They fall short, right in the Garden of Eden. Paradise. You're right in paradise with everything at your fingertip in this sin. There was deceived by Satan, the same one that is trying to deceive us every time we wake up. Satan has sent out a demon to try to deceive us. Even when we want to be part of Blog Talk Radio, they say, look, why you got to go on Blog Talk Radio? You don't need to go on Blog Talk Radio to do this or do that. You can do this stuff right from your home. Call up sister so-and-so, call up brother so-and-so and talk on the phone. And then he puts in your mind to talk about the preacher. On the phone, you talk about your own sister and own brother. Talk how they preach and how they don't preach. What they say and what they don't say. Instead of saying, well, see, he's doing a great job. She's doing a great job. I like what she's doing. We'll thank God. And that's the devil. No, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 16:23. Romans 5 and 8 says, that God commanded his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5 and 8. Now, the Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, like some people are saying that there's many ways. Jesus said that he is the way. So if you plan to get in any way, think that you're going to get to heaven any other way, you will be a thief and a robber. Jesus also said that. Because he said he is the door. He is the door. Or the gate. The entrance to the Father. You must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapters 22 and 7, he said, behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say, I'm coming quick. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. And when I look at that, that means that he's coming quicker than quick. Quickly is quicker than quick. Understand? So what means that we have to be ready? You and I, we can't get ready today, not tomorrow. We got to be ready every second that we are alive. Because no one knows what time he's coming, what hour, what day. In the sunlight, in the rain, snow, sleep. Nobody know when he's coming. The moon shining, sunshine. Nobody don't know. He can come anytime. We just got to be ready. Peter said to the people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. That means to turn away from the sin, the thing that's keeping you away from Christ. You know, when I got called, man, I tell you, I was in Salvation Army. I was there for rehab. I wasn't there to minister. Matter of fact, I didn't even have that ministering in my life. But I went in there because my family didn't want me home. I'm just telling the truth. They didn't want me home. They didn't want me home because I was a drug addict. Crack cocaine had my heart. It was all I thought about in the morning, all I thought about in the nighttime. Before I go to sleep, I thought about how I'm going to get some more money the next day to start my own madness all over again. Because that's what it was, madness. I was
worry. I go to sleep worrying about how am I going to buy my next six tomorrow. Well, because it's too late, and the dope man is not going to front me any cocaine. He's not going to front me any powder. Because I get the powder, and then I got to come home and cook it. And he'll make the crap. But he's not going to front me. So I said, well, I hope that I can go and snake somebody drain out or fix somebody garbage disposal or fix the air conditioner or the heat and make me some quick money. And I can call up the man and tell him I'm coming to him. I need this. I need that. I said, wow. But I had to go into Salvation Army. I spent 11 months. Yes, David Callan spent 11 months in Salvation Army for rehab, trying to get my life together. If you really want this thing that I'm telling you about, you can get it. I'm still working on it, though, because when you're in the body of Christ, you're still working. You know, it's the work is never over. You can't get to a place where you say, well, you know, I got this thing. Because the devil will trick you and tell that you got it. Well, I know that I'm saved and sanctified. But I got to work out my own salvation, like Paul says, with fear and trembling. Because if I don't, why he said fear and trembling? If you don't know that if you come up short that you can end up in hell, you will go back and do the same things. So I have to stay abreast of this walk. Stay focused on my walk. And if you want it today, you can have it today. You can have it right now. He says, for the promise, this is the promise, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation or this crooked generation. Then they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in praise. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. See, we got to become one. There can't be no division among us. We got to understand, like Paul said, he would not have them be ignorant. We got to understand what is the will of God for us. We said Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. We got to come to a place and understand that we have one assignment, and we have different gifts in order to reach that assignment. And what happened in reaching the assignment, that as we put the gifts together, your gift and my gift come together in order to accomplish what God has assigned for us to do. That's why there's many different gifts. It's a diversity of gifts in the body, meaning different types of gifts in the body. You're not just a pastor, not just the apostle, not just the prophet, but it's many different gifts. They're not just speaking in tongues, not just word of wisdom, not just interpretation, many gifts. Why? Because when we put them together, just like this one man don't build a house. I've been in the house building this house. This house got three apartments, first floor, second floor, and third floor. And the third floor, I had to put the heating system in and the hot water system in for hot water for cooking and showering and washing clothes and stuff. And I put the heater in to keep the house hot. Now, you have an electrician who run the wire. I did the plumbing and heating. Then you have the drywall man who put the drywall up. You have the floor man who put the floor on. Then you have the cabinet man who come and put the cabinets in. And then the electrician installed a stove. I installed a stove. Then you have the painters. So there's many people to accomplish one task. That's the completion of that apartment. Understand? But we work together to do it. And so, well, I'm the HVAC technician, and that's it. No, you still got the plumbing. I do plumbing too. So. But you have the painter. You had the roofer, had to put the flanges up top of the roof around the pipe. Anybody working again to accomplish this task for Christ Jesus. Somebody's prophesying, somebody's interpreting. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's speaking a word. and tongues, and somebody's interpreting the word. Everybody working together. Somebody ministering about healing. Somebody ministering about sin. All coming together. If we don't minister this thing in the church, what's going to happen is we're going to find out we have a bunch of rebels in the church like Moses and Aaron had. They want to worship something else. They come out claiming that they're worshiping Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shalom. But by the time they get in the wilderness, they were worshiping something else. Why? Because Moses was talking to God for them. And they didn't have nobody down there that was content to carry on what Moses was doing when he went to talk to God. We need to have people with us that's going to preach the truth and not compromise the truth. So people can wake up from out of sin and begin to walk in righteousness. We need to do that. We need people that are going to do that. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to what Peter says, you need to repent and you need to get baptized. This is all to us. And as you always say, repentance is turning away from whatever you've been doing that was keeping you away from God. And we like to say there's been a wall or hedge, something that's been between us and God that was keeping us from walking with me. It was crack cocaine. It was the women. It was my lifestyle that was keeping me away from God. And one day I was in Salvation Army, like I told you, and a brother named Nate Griffin. He came to me, and I was sitting in the pew. It was a Wednesday. Thank you, Jesus. And they had this special service on Wednesday called the Vesper. And I was sitting there getting ready for Vesper, and I was reading my Bible. Because, you know, you got a lot of dual parties in there, and all they're thinking about is their past life. They're talking about their past life. Well, their life, because they haven't let go. So I would go into sanctuary and spend my time in the sanctuary so I can get a little closer to God. And this brother come in there. He's gone home to be with the Lord. He was a heroin addict, and God delivered him from heroin. But he came in there, he says, "Brother Dave, what you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just sitting here. You know, we're just kicking the bobo." And he says, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm sitting here waiting for Vesper when they're coming to teach." And he said something that was so magical, Apostle. And, I mean, he gone home to the Lord, and I testify about him every chance I get. He said to me, "Can I pray for you?" And I would like prayer. I said, "Sure, man, you can pray for me." Because I thought that he was going to pray for God to take away my addiction. I didn't know that he was going to pray for me to receive the gift of salvation. And he began to quote the Bible. He was an elder in the church. And he began to quote the Bible to me. And then he tell me, if I need this thing, that I can have it. Well, I believe it, that once I get this thing, that I'm able to go home to my family. You know, that's all I was thinking about. I'll be able to go home to my family. I don't have to use no more crack cocaine, and I will have my family back. But little did I know that God had another plan for me, and I told him yes. I got baptized and all this stuff. I got baptized, and I got a new Bible, and joined a place of worship, and my life has never been the same. I'm not saying that I didn't go through problems. I had a lot of problems walking this walk, because people that knew you before, they kind of ostracize you and make you think, want to make you feel guilty that you think you're better than them and all that, because you're now trying to live a better life, a productive life. But I didn't mind, because I wanted to change my life. I wanted to change my life. And because I gave my life to Christ, Christ came in. You know, when he draw me out, but he came in and take total control of my heart. Because I know people say, "Well, when I find God." No, I didn't find God. He found me in a dark place, a place that had no, to me, like it had no exit. But he came and made an exit. He was the exit for me. Just like some of you all that listen out there,
today. You're in a lifestyle that you don't feel you can get out. Well, I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is your way out. He is your exit. You might say, well, I can't do it. But I'm telling you that you can if you give it to Christ Jesus. If you give your heart to him today and ask him to come in, he will come in. He's at the door of your heart knocking right now. With what we are saying to you, he's knocking. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, all this stuff is going to happen to bring you to that place, change your life. In the book of Acts, Peter and John was going into this place, a house to prayer. And the man was begging alms. And he looked on Peter and them, expecting to receive something from him. They were, as a matter of fact, he asked them. You know, he looked there, looking that he would get something. And Peter said, look upon us. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have given unto thee. He said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, the man didn't get up because he looking. He wants, his thing was laying at that place. And I believe that he was the provider for his family. They would bring some. Members would bring him there every day because he couldn't walk. They had to carry him there. And they didn't have a car or donkey or camel. They carried him there on a stretcher and laid him out there at the gate called Beautiful. And he would beg alms, and he would get. Because, you know, the best place to beg for alms is at the church door. And because people are going to feel, they don't want nobody to say, well, yeah, well, he went into the church and people was there begging and didn't give. They're going to reach in their pocket and give you something. So he was right there. But Peter gave him what he really needed, not what he wanted. And the Bible says he got up and walking and leaping and praising God that day, followed them into the temple. Well, in this book of Acts chapter 4, this the people was praising Peter and John. And Peter said to them, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impudent man, by what means he is made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Remember, they called to free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. They said, crucify Jesus, give us Barabbas. Who God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter said, look, if we didn't do the work, we just minister to this man. But Jesus is the reason why he's here. Just the man mentioning of his name has power. Sometimes we don't realize how much power we have to work with. You know why? Because we don't activate the faith that's in the word for the word to work. We just say, well, we pray, and we just think that's all. No, it's faith. Faith, Peter says, by the man name, this man's name, Jesus, that you crucified. He stands here whole today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity to just repent. Tell the Lord Jesus that you're sorry. Tell him that you're sorry for living the way you've been living, for not believing that he is the living God, that he is the Son of the living God who came to the earth as God in the flesh, who were crucified, died and was buried and rose again on the third day. Tell him that. Say, today, Lord Jesus, I've heard the word and I realize that sin is keeping me away from you. But I am denouncing sin, Lord. And I'm coming to you just as I am, with great expectation in my heart, that as I surrender my life to you that and take on your life, that I will live to serve you. If you just said that and you believe in your mouth, it's an uncommon prayer. Tell the Lord now, say, Lord Jesus, I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. And I open the door to my heart, inviting you to come in. According to Acts, according to 1 John 1 and 9, I'm confessing my sin to you, Lord. I know you already know, but I'm confessing because you know all things. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Set me on the right path, on the path like Job was on, on a path where you would be proud of me, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to gird me up with your strength, with your power, with your authority, to live an honest life to God and to man. And if you pray that prayer and believe, you have just received the gift of salvation. I never prayed it like that before. But it's just beginning. That's just the beginning, because, you know, folks, see, once you say that prayer, you're saved. Yes, you're saved, but you know you've got to work out your salvation, because Paul says so. He said you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, you're saved. Now you got to get connected to get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then you got to get connected to a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. You got to be baptized. You understand? It's a lot of work that got to be done, and it's continuous. It's not just today, not tomorrow. Every day you got to continue to get into your word, get the word inside of you. Study your word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be seen rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study the word of God. Get connected with believers that are going after the kingdom. You know, people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, that they're seeking God with everything that's within them. Get connected. Now you want to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you've got, you receive the gift of salvation. You're studying your Bible, but you need to be baptized. And before you get baptized, call your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, excuse me, because you want them to know. I told you the story about the guy who used to get high weed, that used to borrow my truck and go buy cocaine. And when he spent about 12 or 13 years in jail. But when he came out of jail, he called me up. And I had to give him the information, you know. He couldn't see me, but I had to give him the information that I was saved and I was sanctified, that I was living for God. He said, you kidding me, Dave? I said, no, I am saved, I'm sanctified, I'm a minister in the church. He couldn't believe. But guess what? He never called me back since that day. Never, ever called me. I couldn't believe it. I just told him. And I thought he would have said, man, I got to come and see you and check you for myself. So, nope, never called me back since that day. Because once you get into that light, once you get into the light, you take a stand for the light, darkness is not going to fool with you anymore. You know, darkness is not going to fool with you anymore because you're not doing what it wants. You know, it wants to be able to control you. But you now become the controller of darkness. Every time you show up, darkness is going to dissipate. So you get baptized, and you go down that water. We call it a liquid grave. Taking a little bit of time with you today. You are telling the world and all those that are watching that you have committed your life to Christ Jesus. Christ has drawn you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and you have given your life completely to him. Understand? This is what you're seeing. It's your proclamation right there. So now you come up out that water. If you're like me, you might take off. But when I came out the water, I was so happy. Man, I took off running. Couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. And the lady that baptized me, she said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He just got the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. Leave him alone. I'm telling you, I was just running. Soaking wet in the robe. They had me in a white robe. I was soaking wet. and I was just running. I tell you, when you get up a day, find you a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. It doesn't matter what you do. I started cleaning the toilets, vacuuming the sanctuary, cleaning down the pews, cleaning down the podium where the preacher preached. I was wiping all that down with the Windex and stuff. Man, I started there. I would take off my suit and put on my, I had one of those army jumpsuits. I still got one in my truck right now. I got another one. That's not the same one, but I had one of those army jumpsuits. And I used to put that on, put my jacket in the car, or sometimes leaving the church, and I jump in that jumpsuit and go right in the bathroom, unclog the toilet, snake the drain, fix the toilet tank. All that stuff I did, that's ministry. See, the Bible says many gifts, but the same spirit. People can't see that. They can't see that. We got many gifts in them. We have to use these gifts to glorify the Lord. You know, it's not just preaching prosperity. It's not just preaching promises. You got to preach against sin. And first thing we want to do is look at the world, but we have to look at the church. He said that judgment coming to the church first. But if we don't get the church in the right position, give them what God gave us for the church, guess what? Their blood going to be on us because we don't want to tell them again about sin. So, oh, these are good. They've been coming to church all the time. They've been coming here for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. They're going to the club too. They're going to the club. They've got the people coming over to the house, and they're smoking out and drinking out and all these things at their home. But you are not preaching against that stuff. You want to preach promises, make the people feel good. Let me tell them about promises of God. God, I promise you. That's good. But you better tell them about sin so the church can wake up because God coming to us first. The Bible says, if the righteous scarcely make it in, we'll say to those that are not saved, to the sinners. We scarcely going to make it in because some of us are dibbing and dabbing. But anyway, thank you for getting saved and those that will get saved later. Glory to God. Many going to hear this message and going to gravitate to it. Thank God for the message of yesterday. You know, powerful message was came forth yesterday by the Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James, and we thank God for them. Anyway, Mother Grant, I see you yesterday. Was on the line. You jump off. I was calling you, but you jump off. But your line is open enough. You got them reading. You can come on in and read.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, yesterday, Apostle Paul and the other lady, they drop off. So only was me and Deacon Frazier. And then after that, I didn't hear because we were saying they drop off. But you can hear nobody. And after that, wasn't nobody. It was me. And then I hanged up because they did drop off and she was talking. They wasn't on. Me and Deacon Frazier was just keep saying hello, hello. Nobody.
Mm.
Yeah,
I had called you a little bit before they drop off, but you probably couldn't answer. But she probably got a phone. I said she probably got a phone on mute. But anyway, God bless you. I'm glad that you're here.
Yes, blessing to everybody and happy holiday, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God blessing to everybody. My reading.
Same to you.
I had it. Let's see. I don't had it on. A faith bigger than fear. Because we are imperfect human beings, we worry even though we are Christians who have been given the assurance of salvation, even though we are Christians who have received the promise of God's love and protection. We find ourselves fleeting over the countless detail of everyday life. Jesus understood our concern. When we spoke the reassurance word find in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. As you consider the promise of Jesus, remember that God still sits in his heaven and you are his beloved child, then perhaps you will worry a little less and trust God a little more. And that as it should be, because God is trustworthy and you are protective. Worry sent in the ministry of life. Faith is the oil. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. John 14:1-2. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Grant. Thank you. We pray God bless you and that he keep you safe out there while you're giving out food this Christmas holidays. Pray God
Amen. That's my children. They coming over. We doing a breakfast in the yard. Yeah. The children got tables and tents. We're going to do a breakfast, and then we all will have, because there's so much, the house can't hold them. So we're going to set up tents and tables in the yard, and everybody will be in the yard. And have a breakfast, Christmas morning breakfast. My daughter, they're going to the airport now to come over from North Carolina. The other said driving here. God, bring them home safe. Bring them safe. And that son I got, he's going up there. John went to New York for Thanksgiving. He going back up there for the one, because that's where the wife, she move up there. And he going, they can't talk to him.
And he want to go see his baby.
Yeah. But he just went for Thanksgiving. You know, she done move. She should try, you know, switch it up, you know. He went for Thanksgiving with the little girl. Let her come for Christmas. No, she wouldn't do that. He have to keep going up there, and he have to keep taking care of her and paying rent and stuff for her. Then she going up there. He's supposed to be getting the divorce. Just keep
he paying rent for her.
Tired of talking, man.
Yeah.
43 years old. He's 43 years old, and he got to get himself together.
Yep. Well, he's more man than I am, because if she left me, I ain't paying no rent for her.
Thank you.
If she left me, I ain't paying no rent for her. I'm telling you the truth, mother. That be on her.
B&B, what they call it up there. He got to find some place to live. Then he goes so he can get the little girl. He got to keep paying, and he got to rent car. And everybody you talk to him, and just like he don't listen to none of what we say, just what she say.
Yeah, she got it. She got him
buy her cell phone for over $200. The other day, the receipt in my car to see the use my over $200 buying a cell phone to give to her. You and her is no more together. Take care of your child.
Yeah, that's right. She got him tied up, line sinking and everything, bait and everything they call him. Line sinking and everything. Yeah. She got him wrapped up. Because if she left me, I'm telling you, mama, she ain't getting a dollar from me. She can go on and hope a man she's saying when he's not up there, go and let him give you money. Let him give you money. If you leave me and go to New York and leave me back in North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever he is, or Florida, I'm telling you something. You better stay up there by yourself.
And she wouldn't work. She wouldn't work. Because she's saying now she's a girl of a school teacher, you know, even a principal she was. Wouldn't find a job because she want him to take care of her.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he put her that way. He put her that way. Yeah, he put her that way.
Lord God.
I send more power to him. That's all I can say. More power to them, because I know I wouldn't be doing it. I ain't going to tell you a lie, mother. I wouldn't be doing it. I'd take care of my daughter. You know, but not, I wouldn't give her down. If she wants to reconcile, I reconcile with her, you know, because you're my wife. But if you want divorce and still want my money, no. No, no, no. You got to talk to him some more. Maybe he needs to see a psychiatrist or something, because something should be wrong with his head.
I think so. We talk till we get into argument, you know, and I don't want to. I ain't going to do up my question.
No, nope, don't do any pressure. Well, the line is open if anyone wants to respond. If no one wants to respond, didn't hear anything, we'll go ahead and close out and see you all on tomorrow. Prophetess Cheryl will be here tomorrow. She already sent me that she'd be here.
Well, what happened with the lady? I don't remember her name. She used to come on sometime with us. She even come on one time, couple of times with Deacon Frazier. What's her name?
Oh, I talked to her a couple of weeks ago. You're talking about Apostle Clay?
I guess so. Who's to take care of her son?
Yeah,
had to go.
Her son is locked up, but she have a lot of stuff going on. She got a lot of stuff going on. You know, she called me, and last time I called her, she had the toilet flushing from the upstairs in the apartment building coming in her house. House was all messed up. Then she's writing books and painting T-shirts and painting caps and all this stuff. She got a lot of stuff she's doing, so she stayed busy. So I said, okay. When you find some time for the Lord, we'll still be here.
Amen.
You know, so. Yeah, but she always goes gets the message all the time. She makes sure she sends me Christmas greens and Thanksgiving greens and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, she gets busy. I'm busy too, but, you know, I still make time for the Lord.
Yeah, you have to.
And I ask the Lord, you know, in the morning, I ask the Lord if he give me a job. The Lord is not going to give me a job if he don't want me to do it. So I said, Lord, I pray to the Lord to bless me so I can bless. I just got a message from Ghana. I just got a message on my messenger from Ghana, from an apostle. He's telling me that the children, the orphans are praying for me and wishing me Christmas greetings and his family. So, you know, so when I asked God, I said, God, bless me so I can bless the orphans. Give me a job. He give me a job, you know, because I know people here give. Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, they give from time to time. Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington give from time to time. Apostle Millie give from time to time. Minister Andre give from time to time. Sister Evangelist Campbell, she give from time to time. You know, there's people that give. Even, what's her name? Mr. Sheila. Well, we're not worrying about you right now, Mother. But, you know, you give, you helped the kids before. But, you know, these are people that give from time to time. They don't give all the time, but they give from time to time. And that helps us to bless them. So when the Lord hits me, I can do more. You know, I can do more. You know, I help them. They're putting a floor in the church, and a concrete floor in Ghana. You know, so you know you got to do. That's what I do. You know, because I told the Lord, I'm not buying any more suits. I told him that I ain't buying no more suits. I just got a message from Suit USA, because they haven't seen me for about over a year, 2 years. I'm buying them from. So they just sent me and said, well, we give you 50% discount. Man, I don't care if you give me 100% discount. I don't buy no more suit. You know, I'm buying no more suit, man.
Amen.
At the tone, please continue recording your message.
So, but Deacon Frazier, he just dropped off. But we thank God for you all, and praise God for the time that we had today. And this mess, I didn't even get to the one of the scriptures I wanted to put in was in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1-6. But we'll do it next time we come back, because I'm doing a series on this. Stay on track with the Lord. Stay on the track God is leading. You know, doing a series on that. So that's what the Lord wants us to talk about. And, you know, we the people of God, we have to wake up. And it's not just about blessings. Everybody want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. Everybody, but it's more than blessings. Because, you know, the devil is so smart. He'll hear you talking about blessings, and he will bless you right into hell. You know, he will bless you where you don't want to read the Bible. You come home, you're too tired, you don't want to fast, you don't want to pray, you don't want to seek God, you know, and then you find something to be attack somebody about, so you don't pray. The devil said, well, I'm going to make you attack. So if I get him attack apostle, attack a minister, they ain't going to come on the line, you know. And then he said, I'm not going on that line, because he talk about church all the time. I ain't going. And that's the devil controlling. But the good thing about it, I'll tell you that, I'm going to get here every day, every day. If I got to work, and if I'm going to do this too, if I got to work, I come on the nighttime. I'm just like we used to do before. When I got to work and I got to be out in the field in the daytime, I bring the light on up in the nighttime so I can be here and I ain't got to be running on the road. So I set the program for the nighttime. I'm going to start doing that because me and Darlene Campbell, we used to do that. Sometimes the day, sometimes the night. I'm going to go back to doing that. You know, when I work in the day, I bring on the line at night. You know, so I ain't have to worry. And we'll be saying. So, Deacon, if you got something you want to share, you can come on in. If not, we're going to pray and close out. We thank God for you all that came on. Thank God for Pastor Stewart, Pastor Joyce. And thank God for Mother Grant. You, Deacon.
Deacon,
somebody. No, he back on the line, but he may be busy, so I'll go pray out and close out. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us today. And, Lord, thank you for blessing us with ears to hear and heart to receive. We ask, O God, as we leave this line, but not your presence, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us where we come and bless us where we go. We are praying now, God, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, set us above and not beneath, Lord. God, we are praying for the blessings to come, oh God, even jobs that we could bless the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, the widows, and the orphans, God. God, we will do this, and we'll continue to do it because it's your will. You said if we give to the poor, we lend to you, Lord. Oh, God, and God, you will repay. So, Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over us while we are absent one from another. God, that you bless us with healing, oh God. Bless us with understanding. Bless us with peace. Bless us, O God, with compassion. Bless us with mercy and grace, O God. Bless us with the spirit of forgiveness to forgive our brothers and sisters. Even forgive those that come against us without a cause, O God. We ask, God, for your blessing, O God. Lord God, let us not become hard and hard like the Israelites, O God. Let us not become stiff-necked like the Israelites covered and be disobedient, O God. But let us be focused on obeying you and doing your will and not our will. Father, bless our family members. Bless our friends and bless even our enemies. Bless those that don't have, Lord. And give us that we can give those that don't have that you have put in our path, O God and Father. Even as we leave this line but not your presence, God, we ask you to, oh God, to let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. Maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives might stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, or even sodomizing a child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that you will see it. Men may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. That all that means that you let the characteristics of who Jesus is be seen in your life. Your life is your ministry. Your lifestyle is your ministry. People are reading you. People are looking at you to see how you're living. If we are living that righteousness like Job, God would say, Satan, there is my son David. There is my daughter Grant, Lord. There is my son apostle. There is my son deacon, evangelist, a bishop. And he would say, give devil a chance to test us because he know that we will not falter. God, I just thank you for all those that came on. Thank you for Apostle Stuart and Pastor Joyce. And I ask blessings over all those that are part of this line. Oh, Pastor Apostle Millie, Apostle Linda, Apostle Bishop James, Mother Grant, Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Tina, Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Lord God, Deacon Fraser, and all those that are part of this line, Prophetess Jackie, all those that are part of this line from time to time, Lord. We ask your continued blessing on their lives. Protect them in this Christmas season, Lord God, as people are celebrating and cooking and all this stuff with friends and family. Protect us even from this Omicron virus and variant and COVID-19. Protect us all, Lord God, as we go in the virus in the atmosphere, Lord. Don't let them breathe in. Let that contaminate our lungs, but let us breathe even with a mask. The doctor said that the virus can get through the mask. It's so fine. Lord, let our body purify itself, oh God. Lord, you have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, Lord. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Have a blessed day. We love you, but know that God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Love you, too.
God bless you, too, mother.